On today's episode of 23's The Mic, we recap the NFL's Week 15. The college football playoff rankings are out. We'll discuss that and more. Let's get into it. We are back after an extended break due to work, due to things at home. I had to step away a little bit, but it is the holidays and we are finally being able to have some time. We're back in the 23s of my studios in Chicago, Illinois. I'm your host, Nadeem. You can find me on Instagram at NadeemN22 and on Twitter at TheDreamN22. And what a weekend it was. If you are a fan of sports, it was conference championship weekend. I guess if you're a fan of football, this was a great weekend. We have NBA preseason basketball that started up. So why don't we just start at the top? It was conference championship weekend, and we have a lot of winners to get into.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
The number one team in the country, Alabama, played in the SEC championship game against Florida. It was a very wildly entertaining game. Florida stayed in it throughout, and the final score was 52-46 in favor of Alabama. Now, they are the number one seed and have clinched a spot in the college football playoff. Clemson thrashed Notre Dame, making up for a loss that they had earlier in the year against the Irish without Trevor Lawrence. 34-10 was that final. Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship game against Iowa State won 27-21. They earned their sixth consecutive conference title in the Big 12. Clemson also earned their sixth consecutive title in the Big 12 or in the ACC, and those two teams have won six consecutive titles for the first time since USC did it back in the mid-2000s. Ohio State also did it, but they had their 2010 title vacated, so it doesn't really count. The Big 10 championship game, Ohio State won 22-10 against Northwestern. It was a very ugly performance. Justin Fields did not look good. But Trey Sermon, former Oklahoma Sooner running back, transferred to Ohio State before this season, had 331 yards, breaking an Ohio State school record. In the American Conference, undefeated Cincinnati, trying to establish themselves as a credible team in the college football landscape. They beat Tulsa 27-24 on a final kick to win the American. And in the Sun Belt Conference, which is all of a sudden relevant this year, their championship game was actually canceled due to coronavirus protocols and whatnot. So we have all these wins in the college football landscape. The one that I forgot to mention was the Pac-12 championship, where Oregon upset USC and denied the Pac-12 any consolation prize of getting in that final bracket to get any consideration for the college football playoff. Of course, Oregon was a two-loss team. The Pac-12 really ate themselves there, but it is what it is. So we have the rankings that came out. It was Alabama at number one, Clemson at number two, Ohio State at number three, and Notre Dame, even though they just got blown to pieces by Clemson, still retain a spot in the college football playoff. And if you haven't seen this video, check out Joel Klatt, who breaks down and has great analysis of what the college football playoff committee did and what he thinks of it. The issue here is, right, you have a couple teams that were vying for a spot. I think that four spot was up for grabs for a team like Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. Those were the only four teams, in my estimation, that could have gotten that spot. Cincinnati probably had the toughest case because of the fact that they're not a Power 5 school. Even though they're undefeated, they don't have the level of competition that a team like Texas A&M has, a team like Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame's resume stacks up better than any of the teams I previously mentioned due to the fact that they played in an ACC championship game against a team that they beat. So even a loss against them, they still have a win against them on their resume. And that looks good regardless. Texas A&M is in a conference in a specific division that Alabama plays in, so they're not even going to get the chance to play in a conference. So one thing, first and foremost, Matt Leiner pointed this out on Fox's college football coverage. get rid of divisions in conferences. The SEC has it. The Big Ten has it. The ACC and the Big 12, they got rid of divisions so that the best two teams in the conference will play each other. In this case, you had a Florida team that has had two losses, one because of someone throwing a shoe, to LSU, who has had just a downfall year. And Texas A&M is sitting there at the five spot with one loss, beating Florida, and they don't get a chance to play in that title game due to the fact that they're in the same division of their conference as Alabama. Over in the Big Ten, you had Ohio State playing Northwestern, who wasn't really highly ranked due to their loss at Michigan State. And in this year, it was a bad year for the Big Ten overall. They didn't really have a team. They had Indiana, probably the best team outside of Ohio State. So Ohio State was really their only calling card for the college football playoff. And it's kind of sad because these divisions are ruining the chances for the good teams to get in the conference, because the college football playoff, it's not, one, there's no set criteria for it, but it's not just about division or conference champions getting in. It's about the best four teams. And a lot of times the best four teams, like this year, the best four teams are in the same conference, right? Notre Dame, Clemson, Texas A&M probably is better than OU, but I like OU at six because of the fact that they're the hottest team in college football. Without a doubt, they have a defense this year, and that game, so they're pitted against Florida next Wednesday, the 30th, in the Cotton Bowl. That is going to be a game to watch. Kyle Pitts is not playing in that game, so it kind of takes away the mystique, but Oklahoma's newly found defense is winning them games. Spencer Rattler in his first year is getting along in Lincoln Riley's offense. Very young offense. TJ Pledger announced today that he was transferring. So it's going to be a very young offense this year, next year. But one thing I did want to focus on is that, and again, Klatt points this out in his analysis on YouTube, and the recruitment rankings, right? They just came out because early signing day was last week. And the top six or seven teams are Alabama. And this is based on recruiting like five-star athletes, four-star athletes. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, LSU, Oregon, Ohio State, Oklahoma. Those teams have all been in the college football playoff. Since its inception, really. Oregon was with Mariota. They beat Jameis Winston. They were a force to be reckoned with when the playoff first became a thing. Ohio State with Zeke Elliott, now with Justin Fields. Clemson with Trevor Lawrence, before him Deshaun Watson. Alabama, just Nick Saban, the vaunted defense. Tua, Jalen Hurts, now they have Mac Jones. LSU, Joe Burrow's phenomenal year last year. And Oklahoma with Baker, Kyler, Jalen made three straight playoff appearances. And those are really the only teams that get a shot at getting those five-star athletes, those four-star athletes. Aside from that, no team is going to be able to compete for a playoff. You have Notre Dame this year that had a great resume and a great conference, got a huge win against Clemson. Aside from those teams, there is no team that has a shot, because all of these recruits, all these four-star, five-star recruits, the top players in high school across the nation want to go and win a college football playoff. The goals and the aspirations, like Joel Klatt says, is just about these four teams. All any team wants to do is get into this spot of four teams, and the only teams that actually have a shot at that are the teams I mentioned. The Big 12 is dominated by Oklahoma. The Big 10 is dominated by Ohio State. Those two conferences have those two teams alone. There is no other team that can step up for the Big 12. Maybe Texas, but Texas is the most fraudulent thing I've seen since, I don't know. In the Big Ten, maybe Wisconsin, maybe Michigan, if they were any good. But not really outside of that. And Ohio State gets all of the five-star recruits. Oklahoma, the only Big 12 recruit this year, was Caleb Williams, a five-star quarterback. And Oklahoma snagged him up. And then you have Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, LSU. Those teams are all taking the rest of the five-star recruits. The SEC by far is the most competitive conference. You have Alabama, Georgia, Florida, and LSU, who's had a bad year. Georgia had a two-loss year. And it's just crazy. And the solution in my mind, and something that, again, Joel Klatt points out, is a 16-team playoff, not an 8-team, not a 6-team, because the problems that I mentioned before with the recruiting, they're not going to get solved by just adding two more teams. You're just making it more clicky, more of a kind of like a posh, like a privileged league with having the top four or six teams get in alone, and only those team, only those teams getting a shot at the college football playoff. So the proposal is to get a 16-team playoff, make it like a tournament, start the conference championships weeks a year early, early December, like the first Saturday, have those games played then, and then over the course of the next 4 weeks, have these games played out. And that way, you get what you want is you want the best teams, but I feel like conference championships need to matter more. Back in the BCS era, conference championships were what recruits went to teams to play for. Conference championships. Now, people have been, you know, opting out of bowl games because they deem unnecessary. But with 16 teams in the playoff, you're making the bowl games much more legitimate. You're making an opportunity for each team to be much more competitive. And this is probably the thing that'll drive this, is that you're creating so much more revenue for these schools and for the NCAA, the College Football Playoff Committee. Also, you're giving them more credibility, more wiggle room to not be criticized, because 16 gives you such a good number where you can get all the divisions, you can get all the conference champions in, you can get the group. So in my opinion, the Power 5 should mean something. The Power 5 conference championship should mean something. I'm watching this Big 12 championship on Saturday, knowing that there's no shot really for Oklahoma to get in unless like Clemson were to lose. And even then, if Clemson were to lose, I feel like they would still get in. So you have this kind of dynamic where like the Pac-12 championship game on Friday night, you knew that meant nothing. Even if USC were to win, you knew they weren't going to get anywhere close. Oklahoma beats Iowa State in a pretty convincing game, but you still knew that they weren't going to get close. So if you bring this 14 playoff to more of like a 16-team playoff, even at least you have to increase it to an 18 playoff. You need to be able to get all five Power 5 conference champs in, and then give a spot for one Group of 5 team. Not many years is a Group of 5 team this good. You had that UCF team from a couple years ago that claimed they were national champions, and then Cincinnati's looked the part. Cincinnati's defense is really good. They're the only team other than Clemson to be top 20 in scoring defense and scoring offense, and they legitimately deserve that shot. And in the rankings, they're at 8th behind A&M, Oklahoma, and Florida. So in my mind, the CFP didn't give any credibility, any consideration to Cincinnati. Those are my two cents. I'd love to hear what you guys think about the college football playoff, how it's been, and what needs to be changed, and what solutions you think can be driven from this. All right, let's jump into the NFL. It is week 15, a packed show today. Like I said, it's going to be a little longer of an episode probably because I want to get into so much. I have missed this show for it's been like a month. And in that last month, can we talk about Baker Mayfield? And I don't want to get into him just yet because I want to do a segment with him later in the show. So let's talk about the big matchups of this week. The Bears and the Vikings. So I gave up on the Bears. I gave up on the Bears after the loss to the Packers. After the loss to the Lions, sorry. The embarrassing loss to the Lions, because I thought, okay, Mitch is going to come in. They're not going to beat the Packers. But after that, you have the Lions, the Texans, the Vikings, Jaguars, and then back to the Packers. So those are four very winnable games that'll bring you to 9 wins on the year. And they lost to the Lions. And they had the game won against the Lions, and Mitch fumbles with a minute and change left inside the 10-yard line. And I just thought to myself, you know what? That loss is on the defense, but the situational awareness from Mitch Trubisky is still terrible. Terrible. And yesterday, it showed its head again. I mean, people were praising Mitch. He looks good. He threw three touchdown passes in the fourth quarter against the Lions in week one. He looked terrible for the first three quarters, but in that quarter, he looked really good, if you're asking me. He played the Giants. He was average. Yesterday, he was pretty average. The ball was being moved because of the running game. David Montgomery went 32 for 146 yards. He had two touchdowns. Mitch Trubisky had 202 yards, a touchdown, and a costly, costly interception on a throw you cannot make. That is 2019 Baker Mayfield-esque, in my opinion. That is this year's Carson Wentz. What are we talking about? That's a throw you cannot make. And here's the thing, and we're going to get down this road. The Bears won the game 33-27 because the Vikings had to go the length of the field and they couldn't do that in a minute and change. This team has drawn everybody back. After a 5-1 start, they lost six in a row. And then last week, they put up a great performance. Credit where credit is due. Wins a win in the NFL. They put up a great performance, their best total of the year, 36 points against the Texans. The defense was dominant and the offense was dominant. The best overall game of the year for sure for the Bears. And they beat the Texans, who had no running game, no O-line. Brandon Cooks was out, so no wide receivers. Will Fuller had been suspended for PEDs earlier in the year. And Bears fans jump back on thinking, okay, we can make the playoffs. Now, this whole notion of making the playoffs and anything can happen, this league this year is uber competitive. Also, this upcoming draft class is riddled with quarterback talent. So, of course, in a year where the head coach is probably going to get fired, Matt Nagy, the general manager better get fired, Ryan Pace. The Bears are creeping their way back into the playoff conversation, ruining their draft stock. And let's be honest, they look good against bad teams. Yesterday they played the Vikings. The Vikings have no identity. They have no identity. They're so hot and cold from week to week. And they still put up numbers on the Bears. Dalvin Cook ran for 120 plus yards. Justin Jefferson had 104 receiving yards. So it's not like they dominated the Vikings. The Vikings are on their level. I think the Vikings are a better team. And yesterday was just an anomaly because the Bears' running game has looked so much better since Matt Nagy. Maybe running the ball would benefit the team. But let's be real for a second here, because they're going to beat the Jags this coming week. The Jags, their entire situation has changed drastically within the past 24 hours. They now have the number one pick. If they lose out, which they probably will, they will have the number one pick in the draft. That was in the Jets' hands for the entire season, but the Jets just beat the Rams somehow. And now the Jags control that number one pick, and that number one pick is Trevor Lawrence. And he could be a generational quarterback. Who knows? He could be that type of quarterback that lifts a franchise. Who knows? But the Jags have nothing to play for next week. So the Bears are going to win. They'll probably win convincingly like they did against the Texans last week. But if the Arizona Cardinals win, and that's what I'm hoping, and I'm off of it. Like there's so many just casual Bears fans that are like, oh, I like to see my team win. Like, I want to see my team win. And the Cardinals are playing the 49ers this week, which is usually a good matchup for Kyler. And they're playing the Rams in week 17. And the Bears are playing the Packers in week 17. So if both the Bears and Cardinals go 1-1, the Cardinals make the playoffs, and the Bears are stuck at 20 or 18 with I mean, they're going to have to trade up or something, or they get an offensive line or something, trade for Sam Darnold, do something. But that's it's a bad position that you put yourself in. And I know there's no tanking in football. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying to go out and lose games. What I'm saying is don't get so hyped on the Bears being a good team, because we've seen that they are not a good team. And just because they thrashed the Texans doesn't mean they're a good team. The Texans are a bottom four team in the league right now. Like you saw yesterday, they just shoot themselves in the foot every single chance they get. They almost beat the Colts, and they fumbled the ball with 19 seconds left at the 1 yard line. Down seven. Bad things are happening to the Texans this year. There's like a Bill O'Brien curse or something that he did when he left. Even when he was there, there was a curse. But don't be fooled by thinking that the Bears are going to go to the playoffs and make noise, because it's not going to happen. Then we're going to end up with like a 2021 overall pick. And that's not something to be hopeful for or happy about. Making the playoffs is a wild card. I don't see the Bears fans that are making noise on Twitter and in my group chats talking about how, oh, anything in the wild, anything can happen in the playoffs. The NFL this year is so stacked. And there is such a disparity between the good teams and the bad teams. You know who's for real, you know who isn't. And the bad teams get thrashed by the good teams this year. Outside of yesterday. Outside of the Jets beating the Rams. So that's what I have to say on that. Mitch Trubisky looks decent. Like, he's going to get, and I'm scared, but I hope he gets a short-term deal. I don't hate the guy. He was the wrong pick. I hope he gets a short-term deal. He can play backup, but really what they need to do is get another quarterback in. And he's doing that thing where he's getting Bears fans back and happy and, oh, you shouldn't have taken out Mitch Trubisky. Nick Foles was a mistake. Mitch Trubisky would have done this. No, he would not have done this if he wasn't benched. The way he was playing in the Giants game, for three quarters of the Lions game, and in the Falcons game, he deserved the benching for sure. You realize if Mitch Trubisky stays in that Falcons game, they lose that game for sure. Nick Foles came in with a different attitude, brought a different swagger, a change of pace, and he led them downfield and won that game in a comeback. Mitch Trubisky would not have done that. But he's playing himself back into Bears fans' hearts, and it's like, why do we keep going down this road? Why can't we just go out, get a great quarterback, get a great coach, Brian Daboll of the Bills, the offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy of the Chiefs, get you an offensive mind that's actually done it, a good offensive mind, not a quarterback coach, a coordinator who runs the offense, who calls plays, not a Matt Nagy gimmicky, I'm going to do it. And I honestly give credit to Matt Nagy, because he's not coaching for his job, and he's done a really good job since then, again, against bad teams, but it is what it is. You don't choose who's on your schedule. All right, the other game, and this is probably the game of the week, the 12-1 Kansas City Chiefs going against the 10-3 New Orleans Saints. It was the AFC's best versus the NFC's former best. Drew Brees came back in this game, and he looked like Drew Brees just came back in this one, because he went 15 for 34, so less than 50% passing, 234 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. He looked decent. He looked decent. They were definitely missing Michael Thomas in this game. Michael Thomas is on IR, and he hopes to be back by the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes doing his thing, 254 yards, three touchdowns. This was a pretty slow game, to be honest. The Saints had their chances, but the biggest takeaway is, one, the Kansas City Chiefs, best team in football. Don't think that's an argument. And they're the only team in football that I've seen, maybe the Packers in recent years. But they're the only team in football that I've seen that has been able to pass the ball when they need to get yards and chew the clock. Like the moves that they made yesterday, where they're deep in the fourth quarter, needed to chew the clock, get the Saints to use their timeouts, and they passed the ball to get there. And they knew they were going to do it, and they got it done. And they're just so explosive. The third takeaway, I'd say, is the fact that CEH, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Le'Veon Bell both got hurt. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a lower body injury, and it looked like a groin probably, and then Le'Veon Bell got his neck twisted, like Bounty Gate style, face mask pulled by Thomas Davis, the whole works, and it looked really bad. Like, it looked like it hurt, and that could be a huge loss for the Chiefs due to the fact that those two make up their running game, and without them, Damian Williams opted out. They'll need a spark in the running game, maybe go out and get another running back. That Salvin Ahmed guy for the Miami Dolphins has been such a find for them. He's been great, so maybe they can pick up somebody off the street because you need somebody to run the ball and chew the clock. All right, so now I want to get into this. This is the playoff picture. Oh, real quick. There was an Oklahoma shootout yesterday. Just want to really briefly touch on that. Kyler Murray versus Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had 338 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. Kyler had 406 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. How similar and crazy is that? Kyler Murray beat Baker Mayfield last year. This year, he beats his successor in Jalen Hurts. And that stat line's so crazy because it's so identical. But the Eagles were down 16 in that game, 16-0. From the brink of it, Jalen Hurts had an intentional grounding call in the end zone. And the Cardinals looked like they were going to run away with it. The Eagles came all the way back, tied it up at 26. And then Kyler Murray found DeAndre Hopkins, which was a stupid, like, stick catch for the go-ahead touchdown and what was the eventual game winner. And the Cardinals beat the Eagles 33-26. And then the one other thing I wanted to touch on was Tom Brady came back against Matt Ryan again in Atlanta. The Falcons were up 17-0 in that game, and the Bucs came all the way back and won 31-27. So that was kind of like an ode to the old Super Bowl, Patriots-Falcons, one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time, the greatest Super Bowl comeback in history. Now let's go big picture, see this playoff picture. So in my estimation, there's a couple tiers of this, right? The Chiefs and Packers, the current number one seeds in each conference, and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Those two are vying for the MVP, pretty much so. Their teams are really good. I don't know why people say that Aaron Rodgers doesn't have talent on the offensive side of the ball. He has the top three receiver in Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, who's a top 10 running back, and he has one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. And their defense is, against a bad offense, they can put up points, and against a good offense, they can keep them in the game at least. So Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, they're on a tier alone. Russell Wilson was on that tier, and then he fell off, like I said he would. And I just want to throw that out there for everyone that doubted me. But there's two teams that are the most fun teams to watch in the NFL right now. And that is the Buffalo Bills and the Cleveland Browns. And the Buffalo Bills played this weekend. They currently own the number one seed in their division. They're the number three seed overall. And they'll probably finish the year as the three seed. And they played the Denver Broncos on Saturday. And Josh Allen had a game. Went 28 for 40, 359 yards, 2 touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, or 2 rushing touchdowns. And he is a ball hog when it comes to the rushing attack because he does not give goal line carries to anybody because he's so good. Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley have been one of the best receiving tandems in the league this year. And the Buffalo Bills, their defense is coming together. Their defense has been playing really good ball as of late. And they're just a fun team to watch because Josh Allen has been so explosive this year. And the hottest team, in my opinion, there's two hot teams in the league right now. It's the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. The Baltimore Ravens needed a win last week to make sure that they were still vying for that playoff push. And the Cleveland Browns needed to not win last week. They needed to convince America that they were for real, and did they ever do it? That game was a Monday night classic, the game of the year, and it was led in part by the passing of one and the running of Baker Mayfield. And he had a great game last week, and he was in a letdown spot against the Giants this week. An emotional, heart-wrenching loss to a division rival who you're trying to get over that hump with, and you couldn't do it. And now the New York Giants, who are the first place seed in the NFC East with a really good defense, had slowed Seattle down. Russell Wilson had a 28.6 QBR in that game against the Giants a couple weeks back. So Baker Mayfield was in a trap game. This is a complete trap game, a letdown spot for the Browns, and he goes 27 for 32, 297 yards and two touchdowns. He had two drives starting at the 5-yard line that took up over 6 minutes. They went 95 yards. One was actually, because of penalties, 115 yards. And these two guys right here, Josh Allen has had a better season. I'm not going to say Baker's had a better season. Josh Allen has had a better season. Josh Allen's right now a top five quarterback in the league, probably. Let's see. Rodgers, Mahomes, Russ, Deshaun, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. I would say you could interchange those two. Well, Watson's done. That's what I'm saying. Like, Watson is that guy that will carry a bad team and make every game competitive. He can't win because he doesn't have anybody. He's got no help on the offensive side of the ball. That team is so bad, and the defense sucks. Like, that team is so bad. But we'll leave that. So these two guys, Josh Allen has been crazy. Josh Allen's been crazy this year. He has 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, a QBR of 79.6. To go along with 8 rushing touchdowns, he's got a 68.7 completion percentage. Josh Allen, if not for Rodgers and Mahomes, Josh Allen would be the MVP because he has picked up this Bills franchise, thrown it on his back with a good defense. I have to point out they have a good defense. Tre'Davious White is a baller. Ed Oliver is a problem on the inside. Jordan Poyer is a great safety. I can go on and on about their defense because their defense has stepped up, and they are a Hail Mary away, the Hail Mary away from being a 12-2 team right now. And they're going to be a problem. And we'll see how they do against better teams. The Steelers, they played really well against, but the Steelers have fallen off as of late. Injuries on the defensive side of the ball, an offense that can't move the ball. So we will see. Now, on the flip side of the ball, is there anybody playing better ball in the NFL right now than Baker Mayfield? Baker Mayfield is playing on... I did not see this coming. I didn't see this coming, this, especially after last year. I was like, dude, just be average. Be average, win a couple of games, make the playoffs, and that's enough for me. Since the Odell injury, and I hate to point that out because that's a really unfortunate thing, and I don't agree with the narrative that the Browns are better without OBJ. But we'll talk about OBJ in a minute as well. Since Odell's injury, Baker Mayfield has thrown 15 touchdowns to one interception. Russell Wilson, since Odell's injury, has thrown 10 touchdowns. And I know that doesn't affect him at all, but I just wanted to point it out there for a comparison. His quarterback rating since Odell's injury is 105.5. Before Odell's injury, he had 10 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. In the last 4 weeks, Baker Mayfield, and this is number one in most categories, in the last 4 weeks, so the Jaguars, the Titans, the Ravens, and the Giants, one of those teams is a bad team. The other three teams are playoff teams right now. In the last 4 weeks, he's thrown for 1,232 yards, 10 touchdowns, one interception, and has had a quarterback rating of 119.35. So, Josh Allen is playing great. He is playing great football right now. But I wanted to compare the two in the last 4 weeks, that sample size, because that's, I don't know what happened. The Browns just flipped the switch. And that was their bye. So since the bye, the QBRs for Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, 90.3 to 28.2 for Baker Mayfield. This is between Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield. 87.8 to 78.8. 82.5 to 78.9. As good as Josh Allen was, as good as Josh Allen was against the Broncos, 98.3 to 98.2 Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is, each of those numbers I read, Baker Mayfield was on top. And his, he's found something with Stefanski's offense. Like, it's different. It's different. He has confidence. The throws he was making yesterday were surgical. He missed five passes. Only five passes were incomplete. Five. And two of those were tipped at the line. No picks. He's playing clean. And he's got his swagger. He's playing football exactly like he did at the University of Oklahoma. And that's what I love to see. And I want to bring up another name. Kyler Murray. Let's look at the season stats. I went over Josh Allen's. Kyler Murray, 3,637 yards, 26 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, a QBR of 69.5, but 700 yards on the ground and 11 rushing yards. And I want to compare him to Russell Wilson, who has had 3,800 yards, 13 interceptions, 37 touchdowns. So if you look, and a one rushing touchdown. So Russell Wilson in total has 38 touchdowns on the year. Kyler Murray has 37 on the year. Kyler Murray was injured for three of those games, all losses against the Rams, the Patriots, and the Seahawks. And they lost all those games. If not, right at that time, they were the hottest team in football because they were just coming off of that Hail Mary. And these OU boys, huh? These OU boys are balling right now. Just a real quick shout out to Jalen Hurts, who since he has come in has also been putting up crazy numbers. He has four touchdowns and no picks in his two starts since taking over for Carson Wentz. He also threw a touchdown in the game against the Packers where he subbed in for Carson Wentz. And I want to close the show real quick by bringing up that name, Carson Wentz. There are three commodities in the NFL that are going to be moved. That are the three. Maybe one is not as good as the other two. But three hot commodities in free agency and trade. They're not going to be free agents. One has a terrible contract, and that's Carson Wentz, and he's going to be hard to move because a lot of people saw him struggle this year. The one place that he can succeed, everyone talks about it, is Indy. Reunite with Frank Reich. That team is a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. They have a great defense, a great rushing attack, a great O-line. They have great receivers on the outside. Pittman's emerging. Zach Pascal is a good option. Trey Burton. Jack Doyle's still there. Mo Ali Cox could be a monster if he stays healthy. On the defensive side of the ball, they have Malik Hooker, Darius Leonard. They have studs all around, and they are a quarterback, and that could be Carson Wentz away from winning a Super Bowl. Sam Darnold is a good trade commodity because he is one of those guys that no one really knows what he is because he's been with the Jets, and that's what they blame his struggles on. He beat the Rams yesterday. Looked pretty good doing it, and the Bears could definitely use a guy like that, and he's cheap, so maybe a trade for a second-round pick. If we're going to go offensive line in the first round, maybe a trade for a second-round or a third-round pick gets you Sam Darnold. So be it. And the two guys that I think are out of their cities that won't play, like Sam Darnold could be traded, but Carson Wentz is out of Philly for sure. He's definitely played his last snap in Philadelphia. And the other guys, I think it's Odell Beckham because he's a great talent. He's a great talent. And him and Baker just have not had that chemistry. And everyone said that it was just because Baker is a bad quarterback. Baker is an average quarterback. He's not that good. He's bottom 10 in the league. And look what he is doing without Odell Beckham. Since Odell Beckham's injury, Baker Mayfield is third in QBR in the league behind who? Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, who are vying for that MVP. Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray. I was wrong about Josh Allen at the beginning of the year. I didn't think he had it. He has proved me wrong. He has proved so many others wrong, increasing his completion percentage. I'm not a believer in him, but I can acknowledge that he's a good quarterback. Top five quarterback. Or top six. Depends on where you put Kyler. Baker Mayfield is emerging this year as a top 10 quarterback after throwing 21 interceptions and having a terrible year last year where everyone was out on him. Everyone was out on him. Except this guy. And that's what happens. You go to QBU and you have a fan for life in me, and you will have a good career. Even if it wasn't, it didn't happen before with Bradford and Landry Jones and those boys. But Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, these guys, hopefully the Browns and the Cardinals make the playoffs. There's one scenario where the Browns don't make the playoffs, and that's if they lose and the Ravens win. So if they lose to the Steelers in Week 17, the Ravens win, and the Dolphins, I think they have a tiebreaker over the Colts and the Titans. So it depends on what happens there. There's two games left. It's coming down to the wire. They win. They make the playoffs, but they win this week against the Jets, and the Colts lose to the Steelers, which is really, really possible and potentially probably will happen. But if we can see the Cardinals, the Browns, and the Bills in the playoffs, oh my God, it's going to be so much fun, because I'm telling you, the league is stacked. The AFC in particular is stacked this year. There is going to be seven teams in the playoffs, and all seven teams will have to have double-digit wins. Six of those seven teams right now have double-digit wins. And that's going to be crazy, because, I mean, look at the Chiefs. The Chiefs are probably that one team that, you know, can take a breather. But the Steelers should be concerned. They should be worried, because they have a lot of issues on their team. The Titans should be concerned. They have issues. The Browns can beat the Titans. The Bills can beat the Titans. The Bills can beat the Steelers. I think the Browns can beat the Steelers. If the Bills and Browns somehow, some way, if the Bills and Browns were to meet in the AFC Championship game, that would be amazing. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen, because I think that the Chiefs are going to knock off whoever's the lower seed and then knock off the Bills probably in the AFC Championship game. But I think that the Bills are going to win the AFC. They're going to win two games in these playoffs, and it's going to be fun. Bills, Browns, Cardinals, those are the teams to watch. That's all I have for today. You can follow me at the DreamN22 on Twitter, at NadeemN22 on Instagram. 23's the Mike is back. We'll have our rankings, quarterback rankings, for the first time in about a month this week. And you have Pittsburgh and Cincinnati tonight. We have NBA tip-off this weekend, Christmas Day football, Christmas Day basketball. The Bulls are back. We have Patrick Williams starring in preseason, and we have a lot to look forward to this week. So it's a great day of football, a great weekend of football for Oklahoma fans, a great weekend of football for me, with the Bears winning and the Browns and Cardinals and Oklahoma winning.